We come this morning to Ezekiel chapter 37. The Lord gives to the prophet Ezekiel many strange visions and calls him to act out several of his prophecies in ways that are quite striking. And yet, Ezekiel 37, out of all of these illustrations, is probably the best well-known, as the Lord calls Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones. And let's see what happens in this valley of dry bones, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Again he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Well, if you're all familiar with the pattern in preaching of, you know, speaking for a while about a doctrine or something like that, and then having an illustration, you'll actually notice that that pattern is true throughout the book of Ezekiel. God gives to Ezekiel certain burdens, certain words to deliver to the people of God, and then time and again, he calls Ezekiel to these illustrations, and they're often pretty radical illustrations, the things that God calls Ezekiel to act out in the presence of the people of God, the things that he is seeing in visions that God is revealing to him, and that's exactly where this particular vision fits in. If you put in your finger right here in chapter 37, because we'll be coming right back and go back to chapter 34, you'll remember that God had pointed out to Ezekiel that the shepherds of Israel, specifically the kings of Israel, had failed in that they looked after their own self-interests instead of the interests of people. And God says, "I am going to give Israel a king, a faithful king, the Lord Jesus Christ, who instead of calling the sheep to lay down their life for him, he will lay down his life for the sheep." God goes on from there and says, not only am I going to give you a new king, but the land which formerly you've been accursed to, I'm going to bring you back into the land, and I will allow you, chapter 35 and the first half of 36, I will grant to you the privilege of being a blessing to the land. And the land will welcome you back, and you will be a mutual blessing, you to the land and the land to you. And then in the second half of chapter 36 is the doctrine of, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on you. I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be clean. Your sins will be forgiven, and I'm going to make you new. And so we have here the idea of Christ the King, of God's people being brought into a land and being made new creations in Jesus Christ. But the problem is, of course, that there would be for Ezekiel and for the people some sense of hopelessness. Ezekiel has now been preaching for years, and he's been preaching to a people who have no interest. In fact, at the very beginning of his ministry, God tells him, I'm going to send you to a people, and they are going to harden their faces against you. Remember that? They're going to listen to you with, you know, instead of friendly faces, they're going to scrunch up their face, and they're going to be angry, they'll be dismayed, they'll be disgusted by what you say, and they aren't going to let it soak in at all. That's the kind of people Ezekiel was preaching to. And so as he gives these great and glorious promises of what God is going to do for these people, both from his standpoint as the prophet of the Lord, but also from their standpoint, if they're listening at all, if they know the history of their nation at all, they're saying, yeah, that's all well and good, but how can these things ever be? How is there any hope of this actually taking place? And of course, if we ponder human nature, we realize that this is not a problem only for ancient Israel, but this is a problem in our day and age as well. How can people whose hearts are hardened to the Lord, people who, as the book of Ephesians describes for us in chapter 2, verse 1, or as we read in the call to worship, people who, from Colossians, people who are dead in trespasses and sins, how can these people ever live? And the answer that Ezekiel 37 gives to us is that dry bones have hope, but they have hope only because there is a prophet, and there's a prophet, Jesus Christ, who can effectually call dry bones to life. And so as we think about people, maybe it's someone who you've been praying for decades, who you say, how can this person live? How can this person hear the word of the Lord? The answer is they can't. They can't, and they won't, unless the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks into their heart and effectually calls them and gives them new life, this resurrection life that we see evidenced in this passage. And maybe it's you. Maybe it's you this morning who, when you think about someone who has dry bones, you say, you know, I've sat under the preaching of the word before, or maybe I've never been to church before, but I know that spiritually I am not the person I need to be. And frankly, there's a lot of this spiritual stuff, there's a lot of this Bible stuff that I know is just kind of out there, but swirling around me. And I don't really have ears to hear. My heart has not received these truths yet. And you too need to hear the word of the Lord, that when the prophet speaks, that when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, that you might be effectually called out of darkness, called out of death, and brought into his marvelous kingdom of life. Now, the striking picture here is, of course, this vision of this valley of dry bones, of the hopeless state of these dry bones that the Lord brings Ezekiel into, and he sets him down right in the middle of this valley of dry bones. Now, it's interesting that the priests, which Ezekiel, remember, would have been a priest if the people had not been in exile, right? But he's far away from the temple. The priests were not to come into contact with death, with dead bodies of people at all. That's one of the rules. They're supposed to keep themselves ceremonially clean. So Ezekiel, on one hand, would have been very familiar with death, right? Death of animals and the sacrifices in the temple. But as a priest, to be sat down right in the middle of this valley full of bones, to have this vision, there would be a sense of, wait, I'm not supposed to be here. I've never seen this before. I'm not supposed to be in contact with this at all. But the Lord has him go around, not just setting him down, but to also in this vision to pass by. And as he looks around this big valley, the bones are piled deep. The bones are all around him. And he sees, verse 2, what? That there are very many bones. And not only are there very many, so there's a great quantity of bones, but the condition of these bones, verse 2 again, is that they are very dry. These are not like chicken bones when you get done eating a piece of fried chicken and there's still some grease there on that bone, right? There's still stuff on the ends of that bone. Even if you peel away, you know, all the meat, all the tendons off that chicken bone, you got that white knobby thing sticking out at the end, and you rub your finger on it and it's still gonna slide. Why? Because it's not dry. It's still greasy. It's still got whatever bone juice is. Well, the prophet Ezekiel looks around, and these bones aren't like that at all. They've been picked clean by the vultures and bleached out by the sun. The bones are dry. And it's a picture, as verse 11 interprets for us. We don't have to wonder, well, what's this about? The Lord gives us his interpretation. Verse 11, this is the condition of the people of Israel. This is the condition. They say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. We ourselves, we're just done for. We're dried out. And remember, of course, that a skeleton, even though our ears have bones in them, a skeleton doesn't even have ears to hear. And that's the condition of the nation of Israel. Here they are, dried out, shriveled up, dead, without hope, unable to hear the word of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that in the first 24 chapters of this book, when Ezekiel is prophesying to them, it's hopeless, right? The city of Jerusalem is going to fall. There's no hope for your nation anymore. You're all going into exile. When he's preaching a message of hopelessness, they won't listen. What happens in the second half of the book when he starts preaching a message of hope? They won't listen to that either. And is that not the case in the New Testament era as well for you and me? When we preach to people the hopelessness of their being, you know, you cannot please God in and of yourself, you're lost in your sin, they won't listen. And then we proclaim to them the hope that is found in Jesus Christ and him alone, and they don't want that message either. And so the hopelessness of this people, the refusal to listen, the dryness of the bones is not something of just an ancient time. It's something of today as well. And notice verse 3, what does the Lord say? He says to Ezekiel, son of man, Ezekiel still, remember, he's in this valley of bones, these dry bones. What's the Lord say? Says Ezekiel, says, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's not a rookie preacher. Ezekiel's not naive enough to think that if I just write a perfect sermon, or if I just come, I'll just come up with a great illustration, then everyone will listen, right? No, Ezekiel knows better than that. He has the experience, he has the life experience to know that he doesn't have the power to give spiritual life. And so when the Lord asks him, can these bones live? Ezekiel responds in a way that reflects on his understanding that I can't do it, but yet he has faith, right? Says, Lord God, and actually the O is important, right? Oh, Lord God. I think there's a sadness, a frustration, a burdening here. Oh, Lord God, you know. You know. You know, Lord, I've been preaching faithfully and I don't see fruit. Can the Israelites turn from their sin? Can they have life, spiritual life? Lord, that's something that only you know. I don't know. But Lord, you know, you can do it. And here in this picture of this valley of dry bones, we have this picture here then of a people who are apart from God. People who are, as the New Testament tells us, a people who are without hope in the world because they don't know the Lord at all. And we have a preacher who recognizes, rightly so, that he can't do it. That a prophet, as much truth as he proclaims, cannot actually bring people to life. And we have a graveyard of people represented in Ezekiel 37 who cannot hear. People who are dead, who can't even listen at all. And yet the end result of the passage is what? The end result of the passage is that these dead, dry bones will live. That they're going to come to life. And in fact, on the heels of verse 3, when Ezekiel says, Oh, Lord God, you know. God says, Yes, I do know. Ezekiel, you prophesy to these bones. And you say to these bones, Hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5. I'm going to cause breath to enter into you. Verse 6, I'm going to put sinews on you. I'm going to bring flesh on you. There's going to be muscle and organs in these bodies again. And then they will live. And so in obedience to the Lord, verse 7, what does Ezekiel do? He does exactly what God tells him to do, right? I prophesied as I was commanded. He might have felt a little silly doing it, but the Lord told me to do it. And so I'd said, I prophesied these words, and all of a sudden what happens? Well, there's a noise. And what's the noise? Well, these dry bones start rattling around. And if they're kind of piled up or they've dried out enough, right, the arm has fallen out of the shoulder and it's laying there and the fingers have come detached from one another. And all of a sudden there's this great noise in this valley with very many bones and very dry bones. Remember, the dryness will increase the volume as they clank together. And all of a sudden, the skeletons come back together. But it's not done yet, right? Because all of a sudden, there's ligaments on the bones and muscles being added on and the organs come into place and the skin comes in and covers it all over, and these are starting to look like people now. But verse 8, there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they might live. And I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. And they lived. And of course, the spiritual reality that is being proclaimed in this vision is at the end of the chapter, right? Verses 12 and following, where God says, my people, I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to cause you to come up from those graves. I'm going to bring you back into my land. I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on you. I'm going to breathe the breath of life into you, and you will live. And you will live. Can dead bones live? The Lord says, yes, they can. These dead bones, this valley full of bones, all of a sudden is full of people. In fact, we're told in verse 10, they lived, they stand up on their feet, they're breathing now, they're moving, and there they are, an exceedingly great army. Keep track of that. We're going to be coming back to that, not today, but in future weeks in the book of Ezekiel. The Lord's army is now on its feet and alive. So we have dead bones, dry bones, many dead and dry bones, and now bones that are on their feet and alive. But how does this happen? What's the process? The process clearly here is not taxidermy. Right? You've seen when there's like these grizzly bears, they're stuffed to look pretty good, right? They've got them in a good posture that makes you think, whoa, that almost could be alive. This is not taxidermy. There's no skin to stuff here. Furthermore, as alive as a bear or lion that's been stuffed might look, it's not even alive. So what's the process here? Well, the process here is, first of all, that the Lord calls a prophet. Right? There's a prophet to these dry bones. And that prophet has to be one who can speak with authority, who can speak on God's behalf. And when he says, dry bones live, that something actually happens. And Ezekiel here is a type of the prophet who is to come, the prophet who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize that as those who are spiritually dead, as those who would be without hope in the world, who spiritually would be a pile of bones, that we need a prophet who goes far beyond just some human speaker. We need a prophet who has the power to create and who has the power to give the Holy Spirit. And when we come to the New Testament, we find that that's exactly the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is described. Right in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, what does John say? John says that all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. See, we need a prophet, not just someone who can come and speak to the bones, but someone who can actually create, who has the voice of creation. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He, our great prophet, has that voice. But not only does he have the power to create, but he also has the power to dispense the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 20, 22, as he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus has the power to create and to dispense with the Holy Spirit. And the process that we call this in theological terms is the process of effectual calling. That Jesus Christ, his words have power behind them. That he can both create new hearts, new lives, and fill us with his Spirit as well. On the back of your outline, there's a quote there from the Shorter Catechism, the 31st question. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us, see that enabling the new life, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. See, what it's pointing out is that the right words can go forth, but if God doesn't work, if God doesn't unite those words to the power, to his power, that no one will be saved. That those words will just fall on deaf ears, or in the case of skeletons, no ears whatsoever, because the ears are gone. But through the effectual calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are persuaded and enabled to embrace him as he's offered to us in the gospel. So Jesus Christ is the prophet to the dry bones. That's the process that takes place. Now, one point of confusion at times in this passage is, well, is salvation then a two-step process? Right? Because we have the, you know, all the flesh comes on, the skin comes on, and then you've got these dead bodies lying around. And then there's a second prophecy that is breathe, right? Get into them wind and, you know, breathe dead bodies. And so this has led some people to say, well, this is referring to a second blessing, right? That people become Christians, but that's not enough. You then need to speak in tongues. You then need to have some sort of filling with the Holy Spirit, that sort of thing. Well, that's not what the passage is telling us, and here's why. It's describing to us this recreation back in the language of the original creation. Right? Where we are told that God formed man from what? From the dust of the ground. Right? So we now have a body. Okay, I'm formed from the dust of the ground. But then what did God do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So there's a formation and then an animation, if you will. In a similar way, as God recreates us, it doesn't do us any good to be formed. No, I'm still dead at that point, right? The bodies are still laying around. Yeah, they've got flesh on them. Are the vultures about to have the best week of their life? Hey, we already got to pick those bones once. Here we go again. No, they're not animated, right? The bodies are just laying there. There's not spiritual life yet. And so God sends the Spirit as well. It's a two-step, but the two steps are right together. The being made a spiritual being, if you will, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and being filled with the Spirit in order that we might have new life through Jesus Christ. So the prophet speaks to the dry bones. And what does the prophet have to say to the dry bones? See, we have not only a prophet who speaks, but also a prophecy that comes. And what do the dry bones need to hear? Or if we come to our day and age, we could ask, what do the dry bones around us need to hear? Well, verse 4 tells us, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. See, the dry bones need to hear what God has to say. And isn't this true, that our only hope in evangelism The only hope that dead people will come to life is if God allows them to hear the word of the Lord. Because the words of Ezekiel, the words of David Hansen, can't take dead bones and bring them to life. It's only that effectual calling, right? The word of the Lord, the Spirit of God coming on people and giving them ears to hear and allowing them to be filled with the breath of life. Our only hope is if the dead bones hear the word of the Lord. And to that end, turn to Romans 10. This is also on the back of your outline if you want to follow along in Romans 10. Romans 10 talks about this very process. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the basic gospel message, right? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Paul asks the question, well, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Right, these people are dead. They haven't believed in the Lord Jesus. How are they going to call on his name? Well, how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, you may have heard this before, but actually there in the Greek there is no of. And it's really, how then, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? In other words, it's saying, people can hear our words all the time, but unless they hear him, Jesus Christ, they can't be born again. They can't have new life. And how shall they hear without a preacher? What it's saying is, people need to hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and the mouthpiece through which he is communicating is the prophetic word, his word being proclaimed by his messengers. And that this is the process. How do dead bones go to having spiritual life? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself takes his word and proclaims it to dead, dry bones and breathes into them the breath of life, giving the Holy Spirit, in order that we and that those who hear might have new life. Our catechism deals with this as well when it says, How is the word of God made effectual to salvation? And it says, the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners. You hear that? See, people don't come to faith in Christ by just hearing some inspirational speaker. You know, a talk can be powerful, it can be persuasive, it can be good, but that doesn't lead to effectual calling. Effectual calling takes place when the word of God goes forth. God says, my word won't return to me void. And so the means of effectual calling is the proclaimed word of God going forth to skeletal, spiritually speaking, skeletal remains of people. And consequently, because this is true, because dry bones can become living, breathing, spiritually alive men and women who worship and serve the Lord, who are part of the army of the Lord, because this process is true, because the Lord Jesus Christ sees fit to be the prophet who breathes this new life in through his word. Therefore, there is hope then for dry bones. There is a prophet who effectually calls. And consequently, it makes sense for the church to do evangelism. You know, sometimes we look at the society around us and if God were to ask us, can these bones live? You know, our response has to be and would be exactly what Ezekiel's is. Lord, you know. Lord, you know, we can't do this. We can't make the neighbors of this church all come to faith in Christ. As much as we can pray for it and desire that it happens, we can't make that happen. We can't package the gospel in such a way that we can go out and make sure that everyone believes. In fact, we can't package the gospel in such a way that we can go out and make sure that one person believes. And so our response to the question of can these bones live is exactly like, Lord, you know. But because there is a prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, we actually have hope. And it speaks to why evangelism is foolish, actually. It speaks to why in the New Testament it talks about the foolishness of preaching, how ridiculous this exercise is. And it's ridiculous, humanly speaking, because if the Word of God, if the Spirit of God is not present, this is all in vain. It's just words passing over femurs and humerus bones. They don't have ears. They can't hear. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ being the prophet, because he does open hearts, because he does breathe new life into old, tired, dried out bones, we can proclaim with confidence. What that means for you and me is also then that we must pray for conversions. Well, why? Why talk to God about it? Hello? Because you and I don't control the process. Right? If we control the process, then we don't need to talk to God about it. But God is the one who's sovereign over this whole process. God's the one who gives spiritual bodies, who creates spiritual people, and gives them the Holy Spirit. So the only way that conversion can take place is through Him. We have to pray for conversions. The flip side of that is if you are converted, guess what? You better thank Him for your conversion. Because your bones didn't decide to get up and have spiritual life on their own. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you're alive in Him today, why is that true? Because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke into your heart. And some of you can distinctly remember that process in your life. See, some of you had gone to church for years. I'd read the Bible. I knew all sorts of things about the Bible. I knew all sorts of things about God. I'd read Christian books. I'd attended prayer meetings. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm sitting in church. What just happened? That just made sense to me. Where did that come from? And all the pieces came together. And all these spiritual bones rattled around, and there's flesh on you, and there's breath breathed into you, and you say, I wanted that Jesus all of a sudden. I knew all sorts of things about Him, but it was just kind of factual. It was just kind of floating out here. And all of a sudden, I said, that Jesus is the Jesus I want. Who's responsible for that taking place? Ezekiel 37 makes very clear, you didn't build that. The Lord built that into you. The Lord did that for you. And in that regard, whether we're thinking about evangelism or about our own conversion stories or about the conversion stories of others, we can give thanks and praise God, because every conversion is a miracle. Every conversion requires divine intervention. It doesn't just happen out of the blue. Now, I also want to argue from this passage briefly from the greater to the lesser. Here's what I mean. This passage is not about Christians who are worn out and tired in their Christian walk. It's about non-Christians becoming Christians. And so if you're sitting here this morning saying, well, shucks, I was hoping that there'd be a word here for me as a Christian who feels like I've got kind of dry bones myself, you might be saying, well, okay, not so much. No, there still is encouragement for us, right? Because if God can take dry bones and animate them and give them life, surely he can take you who have already been given life and renew that life in you and give you a renewed love for him, a renewed freshness, a renewed vigor, continual filling with the Holy Spirit as well. And so there's encouragement here for those of you who are saying, boy, I feel a little dry spiritually. Ask the Lord to pour out his grace on you as well. These dead, dry bones, so many of them. And yet through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the prophet speaking the word of God to them, they come alive. And the passage has such a great note of hope for us, great encouragement for us. And as we conclude, don't miss the truth. Chapter 37, verse 11. When God says, he said to me, Son of man, these bones are what? These bones represent the whole house of Israel. One of the great assurances that we have as we evangelize, as we share God's word, is that not one will be lost. That is the new Israel of God, that as we proclaim his word, that all of Israel will be saved. The whole of Israel is laying there before Ezekiel. Brothers and sisters, praise God that God's effectual call through his prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only reaches some of its intended audience, but that it reaches all of its intended audience. And if it's reached you this morning, you can give thanks. And you can say, praise God that I've been made and renewed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And if it's reaching you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, and I will in no way cast you out. I love you. I gave my son for you. Come to me and trust in me. Praise God that we have such a great prophet who not only speaks the truth, but effectually calls us out of darkness, out of death, into his light and into his life. Amen. Our great God and Savior, we praise you that what Ezekiel could not do and what none of us can do, that you, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prophet, that you have done that. And we thank you and praise you, Jesus Christ, that you are the creator God who can create spiritual beings, and also that you are the God who can send the Holy Spirit upon us to give us new life. And so, Lord, we thank you for that life that we have through Jesus Christ, not through anything that we have done, not through any process that we control, but through your great grace and mercy to us. Lord, cause us to look to you, to trust you. And Lord, we pray for those who have not experienced this process until this morning. We pray that you would be near to them right now, and that they, as we've talked about, would embrace Jesus Christ, who's freely offered to them in the gospel, that they would come to you and say, I don't want to be dead anymore, but I want to live through Jesus Christ. Make them alive in order that they might serve you, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.